What up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to another new season of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Today, we have a very special guest to start the new season. One of my guys, me and him, we have a lot of history together. We go back. So, I mean, this is an honor to always talk to him and to start the new season off with him. A legendary name in these EuroLeague basketball arenas. My guy, Mr. Michael James. What's up, Mike?
What up, Braylon? That was an odd introduction, too. I felt like you meant that. That was solid. I'm not mad about that.
Nah, you my guy, man. Everything I say is from the heart. You already know that.
I appreciate it.
First of all, bro, so how are you, man? How's everything going?
I'm good, brother. I mean, getting through the season, you know how it is, a long season, so full ups and downs, but I'm solid.
Yeah, man, this EuroLeague season is a gauntlet. It's definitely a gauntlet, definitely a marathon. It's definitely not for the ill-hearted, I guess you could say, not for the weak.
Yeah, you know how it go. A lot of travels, a lot of games, a lot of just being locked in and all the time. So, you know, just getting through all of that.
Definitely. Now, we're going to start off going over here talking a little bit about Monaco, and you have kind of the start of this kind of EuroLeague project with Monaco. The first season, you guys get to the playoffs and have a contested series with the Olympiacos. Last year, you get to the Final Four. To me, I always say experience is the best teacher. So what about those first two experiences is going to allow you guys to take that step forward? Obviously, this the next step forward for you guys is, you know, to get to the EuroLeague finals. Or get to a EuroLeague championship. I'm sure that's the goal. So what about the experience from those first 2 years is going to help you guys kind of take that next step?
Yeah, I think kind of like you said, I think experience is just the best teacher. I think the first year we were just a little too young. I think only people that played in the playoffs was me, I think, at the time. So I think we were just a little too young. When it came down to game five, the last 3 minutes, I think we were up 5-7, something like that. And I think just our lack of experience and not being calm, the last 3 minutes we gave some plays away. So, I think we learned from that and then grew and then came back against Maccabi and was able to go into a game five with a little bit more level head and, seized the opportunity. So I think getting to the Final Four last year where, again, I think I was the only one that ever been in the whole organization. So, learning from that experience and being able to move forward. And now we bring back most of the guys and we bring in a person who won last year with Madrid. So just having more experience and having people who've been there. And when you go there, you're not wide-eyed. You're ready for the moment. And, just excited to see what we can do this year.
Personally, what would it mean for you to win a EuroLeague championship? I know – everybody says, and you know, you're a big Twitter guy, everybody says that you've done everything, but you haven't won a EuroLeague chip. So, like, is that kind of like a little bit of a chip on your shoulder so that way you can, give a big shout out to a bunch of the critics out there?
I mean, you know me, I don't really care a lot about what people say about me in general. So, so that's not really my thing, but I play to win. That's the only thing I'm really worried about. I just want to win games. So, winning the EuroLeague would be big for me. I would love it. And just give me a little bit more stuff to talk to people on Twitter, basically. I'm like a baby troll. Like, they trolling me, but I'm really trolling them. So, enjoy that aspect of it.
Give you a little more ammo?
Yeah, just a little bit more ammo. That's all I need.
Now, with Monaco, you talked about it before about, you were the first person, to be in the playoffs when we were there. It's such a young organization. So you've seen it grow. You've seen the transition grow. So what is that transition been like, over the past 3 years? Are you seeing, more fans? Are you seeing more people talk about, Monaco basketball? Are you seeing more people just be more involved? Like, what has that transition been like, so far over the past 3 years of playing in Monaco?
I think the attention, the fans, obviously, and they're, I always say, like, when you're new at something, you don't really know what you don't know. So you're learning as you go. So the things that sometimes I was talking about, maybe they didn't understand all the way, or maybe they thought I was like, I don't want to say over exaggerating, but just maybe they just thought like I was just saying things that didn't exactly amount up to what they actually needed to do. And I think the more we go around and play at other arenas and see other teams and gain experience and go through seasons, the more that the club grows too as an organization. So they understand what is needed more in this area or what is needed more in that area and what things that they have to build upon. And I think they're taking steps. I think it's hard to take leaps and bounds. And I think even sometimes as players, we want an organization to take to grow leaps and bounds in three days, but I think it's unreasonable to ask for that. So I think they're taking steps every year that they do two or three things to improve every year and then keep it going. And just I think they're going to keep doing that for the rest of their existence. So I think it's exciting to have a new team in EuroLeague. It seems like it's always the same teams, you know what I mean? It's always the same certain teams that play good and win. So it's, I think it's exciting to have a new face and a new team that people can go out and watch.
Has it like almost like, I don't want to say rejuvenated you, but like has it given you like kind of like new energy to be kind of be a part of like this new project, this new team? Like you said, you're kind of like the leader, you know, both on and off the court because you've seen it. You have the experiences that a lot of people don't have. So is it kind of like giving you like new energy, you know what I mean, being a part of it?
I think at the beginning I was super like just excited and ready to just take to just lead a team all the way to wherever it needed to be led to. Yeah. And I think now that I've it's just kind of where I'm at. I think it kind of takes a little bit of the excitement away because it's my third year here and this is our third year, and it's not like we're surprising anybody anymore. It's not like people are just saying, oh, Mike just went there because he wanted to get paid. Like, they're not really going to win anything. Now it's like people actually have us going to the Final Four, have us winning games, you know, have us being the favorite in certain amount of games. So it's kind of like at first I was hunting everybody, and now I'm kind of the hunted again, which is fun. I mean, you know, I think it's weird probably to hear me say that because I think everybody probably always wants to play good against me, but I think the organization is more being chased instead of us chasing other people now.
Well, what do you prefer? Like, what do you like more? Because you've been part of both of them. You've been part of, like, big clubs, big teams, where it's like, you know, Final Fours have kind of been, like, you know, the baseline. But then you come to, like, you know, this project where it's like, you know, we're going to just kind of just, like, go out there and just play and kind of see what happens. So, like, what do you like more?
I like the big club aspect, I think, just because – I like to have to set a standard for myself, and I like everybody else to have that same standard. And I think we're at a big club. That is the standard. You know what I mean? It's not really like we let you dip into this or let you dip off into this. At a big club, a certain standard that we live by every day. So I think when I first got here, obviously it's the first time in EuroLeague, they have a standard in their mind, but they don't know what the standard should be because it's all brand new. So I think now that we're 3 years in, we're figuring out where our standard is and where we need to be at. And then when we dip below that, they're holding us back up to that standard, if that makes sense. I like that aspect of it a little bit more.
How now, you're the leader. You're kind of like, and it's kind of strange to say because like, but you're like one of the, are you the oldest player on the team? You're one of the older players on the team, right? You're the oldest player on the team? That's crazy. First of all, how's it feel to be the OG vet on the team?
Well, see, I was the oldest player last year too, so I got used to it. So it's strange. You know, I'm used to playing with a lot of people that played a lot. So like, you know, even when I was playing, like I was in like my seventh year when I played with you, or maybe like eight, like six or something. And you played like 12 or something. You know what I'm saying? Like the difference. Like I played a lot, but it's still like always somebody above me. And now this is my 10th EuroLeague season. So like nobody's even close to me. Like I think the closest person is like Jordan Lloyd maybe or Demo. And I think they're like five or six. I think even like little Matthew Strezel has like five. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like a big gap and their playoff experience isn't as much as mine. Like it's just a lot of experience that I have that a lot of other people don't on the team. So it's a weird – sometimes it's a weird concept because I'm used to being around people that have had more experience than me. So when I say – have a conversation with them, they pick up what I'm trying to say right away. But sometimes when I say it to somebody who doesn't have as much experience, it's like I forget that they don't understand all the way what I'm saying sometimes. So yeah. I got to retell it in the easier way for them to explain. So it probably was the same thing when I was coming up too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just like you never know what you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So like sometimes my communication needs to be a little bit better on that end, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense because like I experienced the same thing. It's like almost funny how like the tables turn because like when I remember when I was first coming up, like I was the young guy. I was like the young player. And I feel like I had vets that like kind of like brought me along and, you know, I was able just to come to practice and kind of do whatever I want and not really have to hold myself accountable or hold other people accountable. And I found like as I got older, it was like strange because it was like now I'm the grown up in the room, you know, basically, you know, to say. And it's like now you got to kind of like not only watch yourself because other people are going to follow what you do. You know, like if somebody does something, well, I just see Mike do it or I seen this person do it. It's like now you got to kind of hold yourself to a standard. So it's like in that way, it's a little weird. It's a little bit strange because like now you're not only doing things for yourself, but you're doing things as a leader and you're trying to lead like a group of individuals. You kind of have that responsibility, even if you don't want to, as kind of like the older person, the older vet in the room.
Yeah. Sometimes you forget that that's your role in the team. So it's like you got to catch yourself a little bit. Like, maybe I shouldn't have did that.
But right.
It's like I'm here now, but damn, I really shouldn't have did this one. This was a bad time.
Right. You like, you almost got to bite your tongues or bite your lip a couple times.
Yeah, like,
I really should be saying it or I really should be doing it. It's a transition. Like now, like you, like I said, you find yourself or you look at that scout reports now and you like, he born in 2000, whatever. It seemed like
2010 crazy. Now. And it seemed like I played a 13-year-old the other day.
Nah, that's fast, bro. Like, that'd be the craziest part. Like, as you grow older in this business, and it happens so fast, it seems like it literally happens overnight. Yeah, that's what you mean.
Yeah, I think, like, it's like a little bit of a shock to me because then, like, obviously, like, I'm watching and I'm seeing you climb up all these game leaderboards. I'm like, dang, he got a lot of games. Then I look at all my stuff. I'm like, damn, I played a lot too. Like, I'm out here. Like, why did I play so much? Where did this go? Where did this come from?
You're not too far. Like, when they told me I was, like, breaking, like, the all-time leading games, like, I didn't know. Honestly, I had no idea until, like, probably, like, maybe, like, the beginning of the season. But I was, like, I didn't realize, like, I played that many games. Like, it just doesn't, like, I don't know if it's the athlete mindset or the mentality, like, you know, but it just, like, and it's for you, like, I wonder, because now like, you're starting to creep up on a lot of those, like, all-time leading boards. Like, you're the all-time leading, you know, scorer as American player. You're starting to get, like, all these, like, so, like, does it feel, like, kind of strange, like, seeing your names, like, once you kind of reach some of those milestones?
I think, like, I had an idea that I was getting close, like, a couple years ago, because Chris Singleton actually brought it up to me. He was like, yeah, you're going to break the all-time leading scorer record. I'm like, break the all-time? Man, what are you talking about? And he like showed it to me. I'm like, man, I ain't that far though. Like, if I play like this, yeah, I might get there.
Yeah.
And then this summer, me and my friends sitting down talking, I'm like, man, I really am close. I might get it this year. If like some stuff go my way, it could happen.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, it's just crazy to think about because when you come over here, you don't think like I'm going to have a career like this and play this long and do this and do that. I was just trying to make a little bit of money and hopefully, you know, be able to, you know, provide for my family and buy a house one day. That's all I was really thinking about. Now it's like it surpassed all my expectations and then into a realm that I don't think that anybody in the world could have predicted. So it's almost like a surreal thing, if that makes
sense. Definitely. I mean, yeah, because I mean, me and you are kind of one of the same where it's like we both went to a small school. We started off like in the lower division. So like Europe, and we kind of had to rise up to now when we're, you know, bona fide EuroLeague players. Do you ever like look back on that time and be like, I mean, even though it seems so far, but it's only, let's say 10 years ago, a decade ago, do you ever look back on that time and kind of look back like where you are now and be like how and when?
All the time. Like, I remember my first year, like they couldn't find my Wi-Fi password. So I had to like always have the plug up. So I really couldn't use my phone unless I was at the gym. So I used to go to the gym early and get the Wi-Fi. I'm like, bro, how did I even survive then? And why didn't I just buy my own Wi-Fi? Like, what do I got going on? But like, it was my first year, so I didn't really like know nothing. I was just like, dang, I ain't got no Wi-Fi. Like, it's over.
Yeah,
but now, if that happened, I'd just buy some more. Like, I just buy another box. Like, it's like $30. Like, what was I on? But I think like stuff like that, and just being happy with anything. Like, I think I played in Greece, and they had us in like a hotel at the first for like 2 months or something, and I really didn't care. I was like, man, it's cool. Like, they clean my bed every day. Like, I'm solid.
I'm overseas.
Yeah, like, I'm living. Like, it's cool. I ain't got to pay for this. I'm solid. And now I was like, if that was me, I'd be like, bro, this ain't it. Like, you got to get me out of here. It's just like your standards change, and like everything that you like, you get more life experiences, and then you start fitting in to like the European style and like how Europeans. I think when I first came over, I wasn't trying to fit in. I was just here. Like, yeah. I was just existing, but I was an American in Europe. But now I'm like, I'm integrated into how it works in Europe, but how it goes on. So now it's like, I'm actually just home, if that makes sense.
Nah, that makes total sense. Now, you're widely regarded as the best American player playing outside of the NBA. So, you know, many people say you got, you know, fame with social media and different things like that. How does that feel? Like, you know, there's like, and I know you're not that type of guy, but like, do you kind of have to wear that, like, that best American outside the NBA almost like as like a badge? Does that give you like a sense of pride, or like, how does that feel? Like, do you not care about it? Like, it's just like this, you let other people talk about it.
You know me, like, I'm not going to talk about it like that, but it's more like if somebody say something crazy to me, then I'm going to start talking. I'm not really like, you know, I talk a little shit here and there and make some jokes. Like, I don't really care that much. But, I mean, I try not to think about it. Like, I don't really think about it that way. Like, I'm the best here or there. I just be trying to, like, get better every day and exist in my own space and just, you know, be around people that hold me accountable and are doing things as well, and just, you know, people that hold me to a standard that I like to be held to. So then, for instance, like in the summer when I go work out, I like to just be around my friends that know I need to be going hard. And if I'm bullshitting, please tell me. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not doing what I need to be doing, like, say something to me. Don't let me go through. Let's not waste an hour here just because we want to be here. Like, let's not waste time. So I just try to come to work every day and just try to get better. I ain't trying to, you know, I'm the best American overseas, and I need to boast about that or nothing. That's just not how I'm feeling.
But you talk about standard, and, you know, how do you keep yourself up to that standard? And then how have you been able to have success overseas? Like, a lot of people come overseas. A lot of Americans come overseas, and they're not able to translate that standard or translate that into having longevity or long success. So how have you been able to have that, where, like you said before, where, like, you're kind of the haunted, like, everybody wants to play well against you. Everybody, all defenses are trying to, you know, line up against you. People are always criticizing you. So how have you been able to have success year in, year out, no matter what team, no matter what organization, no matter what season is? How have you been able to do that?
I think the first part is I'm always in the gym shooting. Like, I mean, you play with me for a season. I'm damn near there like an hour before getting shots up, even if it ain't.
And I think that's one thing that people don't know about you. It's like, you're really like you're a gym rat. Like, you in the gym, you in the weight room. Like, you constantly like in the gym. Like, you always, like, even over summertime.
I just like basketball. Like, I like every aspect of basketball. Sometimes I don't like being a basketball player, but I love basketball. Like, I like talking about it. I like debating it. I like talking about who's good, who's not, what they can do, what they can't do. So in that, I'm kind of obsessed with, like, not having, like, holes in my game. So when I started being, like, a premier player, I noticed people started playing me a certain way to do things that they thought I wasn't good at. And instead of, like, saying no, like, I'm going to do this other thing, I was just like, well, shit, I'm going to just get better at that. Like, like, it was low-key kind of, I felt like it was disrespectful. Like, oh, you really think I can't do this? So I'm going to just work on it, and I'm going to be great at it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, when early in my career, people used to go under a lot, and it used to piss me off because I was like, bro, I can shoot. So now I just start shooting all the time. Then people only force me left. What you talking about, forcing left? Now I'm only going to go left until somebody stops it, because I feel like it's disrespectful. So, that's just been my mindset just in general. And I think working every day and just, like I said, working every day, it helps you keep your standard. Like, sometimes even on good shooting days, bad shooting days, I'm always going to treat it the same. So I'm just always in the gym doing my same routine and keeping my same sharpness no matter what happened before. I'm not holding, like, I'm coming to work every day as if nothing happened before, as if I still need to build.
Yeah.
So just keeping that same mindset and not trying to like be satisfied, really. And I also think like my introduction to EuroLeague wasn't like the same as other people's. Like people got brought into EuroLeague to like be stars first. When I first came to EuroLeague, I was like the setup guy, play defense, like role be player. Athletic. Yeah, like I wasn't like superstar right away. Like I learned how to be like a role player and got better and became a star, if that makes sense.
That's why I always think like it's interesting in like your trajectory of like your career, because like you really like, first of all, you put the grind in, but it wasn't like you came in and it was like, oh, he's like, you weren't Mike James when you first came to EuroLeague, like you said before. Like when you first got to Waskonia, you know, you were more or less like the setup guy, you know, make shots, you know, be athletic, kind of cause like havoc. So like that's why I think it's most interesting, like how you're just never satisfied. Like every year, like you continue to get better and better and better and better, which I think many people in your shoes would be like, yo, I'm, you know, as everybody says, I'm him. Like, I'm cool. Like, I can just, you know, go out and just, you know, just kind of just be comfortable. So that's why I always, like, admire the most about you. Like, you just continuously build, continuously get better.
Like I said, you know me. So, like,
yeah,
I know when somebody killed me. Like, I'm not an ignorant person. If somebody, was kicking my ass one day, I'm going to say it. Like, damn, I didn't have a good game against him. Like, I need to work on this. So, like, I was playing my first 2 years. I'm like, bro, I had problems with him. Like, I really couldn't stop him. And then, like, I couldn't score like I wanted to. Like, I need to go work on something because I can't just get killed by him every time we play. So then that just became a habit. Like, I didn't want to – like, nobody wants to get killed by nobody. Like, that's not what I want to do. That was just also the motivation. Like, I can't keep being the dude to get killed. I got to get some stop, score some buckets back. Like, that can't be it.
You don't want to be the liability on
Yeah, I can't be the liability.
You don't want to be on the scout report going at him. We going at him.
Man, I seen somebody posting me up the first year. I was like, bro, I can't get posted up no more. So after that, I just started fouling. And I was like, bro, I'm going to just foul OD in the post. So they just don't try it no more.
Now, we talked a little bit about being American and playing overseas. Like I said, you're known, you're almost kind of like wearing that kind of like that American, you know, flag, I guess you could say, as far as like leading the way, as far as like American basketball players overseas. When you go back home, how would you explain the EuroLeague game to just like an average fan back home, an average basketball fan back home? Like, why would you tell them that they should be watching EuroLeague basketball?
I would just say it's a different, it's just a little bit more serious during the regular season than the NBA sometimes. Like, I feel like the NBA sometimes, they play games in shorter amount of periods, so sometimes it's a little lackadaisical. Like, you know, sometimes superstars is coasting through three quarters and in the fourth quarter turn up. So, like, in EuroLeague, every 2 minutes of a game is very important.
Thanks.
Like, I done seen teams be up by 10 and in 2 minutes be down by 12. And you don't really know what happened. Like, everybody just kind of looking around like, yeah, they started doing some crazy stuff, turned it over three times, some threes hit, then they got out of sports and like, coach got a technical and now the game all messed up. So I just would say like, it's more serious, it's more, a little bit more intense. And I think if you're like I feel like EuroLeague is more like for a purist type of basketball fan, like an old school kind of purist basketball guy. If you're just kind of like running around and dunking and people looking nice, I mean, you might see some of that, but it's not a lot of that. You might get it, because you might get a 62-56 game that was a nice game, but it just, you know, maybe it wasn't the most pretty to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the essence, I think the beauty of EuroLeague basketball is that, like, not to be like corny or cheesy with the tagline, but like every game matters, every possession matters. And I feel like 1-18, no matter, you know, who you play, where you play, anybody can beat anybody. And I think that's been like one of like the best parts. It's like there's no off nights in EuroLeague for the most part. Like you gotta play, or you can be, as you said, you can be embarrassed, or you can, you know what I mean, have a tough loss, or, you know, everybody got players. So that's what I think is the biggest difference. And I think it's like the like I said before, the games just matter more. Like every game is like, for the most part, it's like a playoff game. Like you may have a few, but every game is like, feels like a playoff game. It feels like there's a lot on the line.
Especially since the standings be so close. If you lose a game that you shouldn't have lost, and then you play a big team, and then you lose to the big team, now you're two games back. It's like, dang, we kind of messed that up right there, that little stretch.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, we early in the season for the most part, and, like, you know, we already, people already look at the standings. They already looking at, like, strategy, looking at, like, this, looking at that. We lost to this team. We got to get here, especially now with the play-in tournament. Like, it makes it even more, you know, every game got even more.
I hate the play-in.
You're not a fan?
Nah. You know, that's not something I would ever be a fan of. You know, I don't like that. I feel like that's saving for people that just didn't play well. So basically, you just don't got to play well, and you got two extra spots. But what?
Yeah.
Y'all just, I mean, it seems like they just want to get some extra money and make everything more fair play. But who cares about fair, man? I don't care about fair. Nah, win games, go to the playoffs.
Facts. Yeah. I mean, I'm a purist in that way, too. Like, I like it from one side where it's like, where, like, it keeps the whole year competitive. But then from one side, it takes away, like, if you, like, the 7th or 8th seed, and it's like, dang, like, now you got to play one game for your life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why?
Yeah.
What if, like a team with no fans, like, gets into the play-in game, and they play, like, Partizan, and all their fans travel, and they just get their ass kicked. Like, it's like, damn, but, like, that's not like, cool. But
that's the tough part. Who would you say are your top five American players who ever played in EuroLeague?
Anthony Parker count. He count.
Yeah.
He in there.
Yeah. What's crazy, I was going to ask you this question too, but, like, Anthony Parker is the only American, I'm sure you know this, but only he's the only American that has won a EuroLeague MVP. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I got robbed a few times, but we ain't gonna talk about that. We gonna stay away from my rampage. I mean, I got robbed a few times. We can put it in. We can put it on the internet. We know what happened. You know what I'm saying? It's about two or three times that people were looking around like, "Hey, you didn't win that." I'll be second in MVP and somehow make second team or your league. Don't make no sense. Like, how do you know? I don't know the mathematician, but
I'm gonna stop you. We're gonna be the grown up in the room. We're gonna be the grown ups in the room. We'll stop you.
But Anthony Parker for sure. Does Shane count? Shane Turkish? I'm gonna count Shane count. Shane counts. I'm gonna forget somebody for sure because I'm not remembering anybody. You count, that's three.
Appreciate it.
Shane, Anthony, you. You can throw Will in there. I'll throw Will in there. He did win Final Four MVP. He won Final Four MVP.
We're going to throw Will in there?
We're going to throw Will in there, for sure. I'm gonna put Will in there. That's my guy.
All right. Before I go, we got these quick questions before I let you out of here. So this is going to be like one or two answers. We call it crunch time, quick questions. So I'm going to start right now, okay?
I got you, brother.
Step back or floater?
Step back.
What's your favorite movie?
Boomerang.
Boomerang. I wasn't expecting that, but all right. PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Favorite sneaker?
You try to get me in trouble, Kyle.
Ooh, I'll be.
James Harden Volume 7, brother. Volume 7, brother.
Sponsored by Adidas.
Sponsored by Adidas, brother.
Favorite song?
Favorite song, Adore by Prince.
Ooh, that's a nice one. Pre-game, what is one pre-game non-negotiable for you? Like routine, something in your routine that's like a non-negotiable that has to happen.
You know I ain't got no routine, Kyle. I just show up to the game and lace them up, brother.
Favorite arena to play in?
I like Fenerbahce Arena.
Favorite EuroLeague city? That you like traveling to?
Athens.
Favorite matchup?
Like me going against somebody else?
Yeah.
Me and Shane is always fun. We haven't really got it in the last couple of years, and we got two the other day, and it was fun. We ain't playing the middle.
And the last one I got, something about Mike James that nobody knows or somebody will be surprised about.
I don't know, man. I think just that people just take me too serious. I don't be that serious half the time. I just really be joking. I joke all the time. Like I think like 73% of the things that I say is a joke.
I would say 95.
Man, so like I think people be real. Like they be like, dang, he mad. Nah, I'm really just joking, but it just is true, but it is a joke.
Nah. I think for the real people that that are around you, they really know who you are. But just going, I mean, I'm gonna let you get out of here, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate you taking the time. It's always good conversating with you. It's always good catching up with you. I mean, any message you want to give to the Yearly fans before we get out of here?
Not really. You know, I don't want to talk to them like
this. They gonna talk to you on Twitter anyway. So
they gonna talk to me. I'll see you later. It'll be all right.
All right, Yearly fans, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. I'll talk to you again very soon. Take care.